Okay, now we're going to learn some additional properties of complex numbers, which some of which may not be familiar to you. The first thing we're going to talk about is the polar form of a complex number. Let theta be any real number. A famous formula of Euler, Leonhard Euler, asserts that e to the I theta equals cosine theta plus I sine theta. A rigorous verification of this formula requires a study of complex power series that will give you now an intuitively appealing argument that will explain to you why this formula is true. If z is any complex number, define e to the z equals summation j equals 0 to infinity, z to the jth power divided by j factorial. When z happens to be a real number, this formula is one that you learned in calculus when you studied power series. The new formula with z instead of x is a standard generalization of the calculus formula to the complex number system. We substitute in I theta for z, and manipulating the series just as though it were a large polynomial, separate the right-hand side into its real and imaginary parts. So here we go. E to the I theta, it turns out, when you multiply out the terms, turns out to be 1 minus theta squared over 2 factorial plus theta to the fourth over 4 factorial minus theta to the sixth over 6 factorial, and so on, plus I times theta minus theta cubed over 3 factorial plus theta to the fifth over 5 factorial, minus, plus, and so on. The power series expansions that you see on the right-hand side there, the first one is the power series expansion for cosine theta, and the second one that's multiplied by I is the standard power series for sine. So this shows you that e to the I theta is cosine theta plus I sine theta. And that is Euler's formula. Now, if c equals s plus i t is any complex number such that s squared plus t squared equals 1, then we may find an angle theta greater than or equal to 0 less than 2 pi such that cosine theta equals s and sine theta equals t. See the next figure. We conclude that c, this complex number of unit modulus, must have the form e to the I theta. Here's a picture to illustrate c, which is s plus i t, subtending the angle theta. If c equals x plus i y is any non-zero complex number, then let's write r squared equals modulus c squared is x squared plus y squared. The number r is the distance of c to the origin in the argand plane. It is also the modulus of z. Set c equal to z divided by r. Certainly c has modulus 1. Now we'll apply the result from the preceding frame to conclude that z is equal to r times c, which is r times e to the I theta. This is the polar form of a complex number z. If z equals r e to the I theta is a complex number in polar form, then r e to the I theta plus 2 pi is the same complex number. And this follows because the cosine of theta plus 2 pi equals the cosine of theta, and the sine of theta plus 2 pi is the sine of theta. In other words, periodicity. Let us use these ideas to find all the cube roots of I. Using the polar notation, we can write I as 1 times e to the I pi over 2. Where did that come from? Well, I subtends an angle of pi over 2 with the positive x-axis. In other words, cosine of pi over 2 is 1, and sine of pi over 2 is 0. So cosine theta plus I sine theta is 1 plus I 0. Or sorry, I said it backwards. Cosine of pi over 2 is 0, and sine of pi over 2 is 1. So cosine theta plus I sine theta is 0 plus 1i, or I. So we need to solve the equation r e to the I theta cubed equals I equals 1 times e to the I pi over 2, or r cubed times e to the 3i theta equals 1 times e to the I pi over 2. So we see that r cubed is 1 and 3i theta is I pi over 2. In conclusion, r is 1 and theta is pi over 6. So we have found 1 cubed root of I. Call it z1. It's 1 times e to the pi over I pi over 6, which is cosine pi over 6 plus I sine pi over 6, which is root 3 over 2 plus I times 1 half. We are not finished because we expect a non-zero complex number to have 3 cubed roots, because after all, they're the roots of the equation z cubed minus alpha equals 0. So now we look at the equation r e to the I theta cubed equals 1 times e to the I pi over 2 plus 2 pi. So we're using the comment we made before that you could add 2 pi to the argument and not change anything. In other words, we're using the periodicity of sine and cosine. Now we have r cubed equals 1 and 3 theta equals 5 pi over 2. And we find that r equals 1 and theta is 5 pi over 6. In conclusion, we have a second cubed root z2, which is 1 times e to the I 5 pi over 6, which is cosine pi over 5 pi over 6 plus I sine 5 pi over 6, which is minus root 3 over 2 plus I times a half. Repeating this process once more, we have r e to the I theta all cubed equals 1 times e to the I pi over 2 plus 4 pi. And again, we're using the periodicity of sine and cosine. Now we have r cubed equals 1 and 3 pi, theta equals 9 pi over 2. Therefore, r equals 1 and theta is equal to 3 pi over 2. In conclusion, we have a third cubed root, z3, which is e to the I 3 pi over 2, which is cosine 3 pi over 2 plus I sine 3 pi over 2, which is minus I. That is the complete solution to the problem of finding all cubed roots of I. Let us do one more example of this type. We will find all fourth roots of minus 16. Now, minus 16 is 16 times e to the I pi. So, because minus 16 subtends an angle of pi with the positive x-axis, so we must solve r e to the I theta to the fourth equals 16 e to the I pi. It follows that r to the fourth equals 16, and 4 theta equals pi. The result is that r equals 2, and theta is pi over 4. So z1, the first root, is 2 e to the I pi over 4, which is 2 cosine pi over 4 plus I sine pi over 4, which is 2 square root of 2 over 2 plus I square root of 2 over 2, which is root 2 plus I root 2. Now let us pass to the next fourth root, r e to the I theta to the fourth equals 16 e to the I pi plus 2 pi, again using periodicity. It follows that r to the fourth is 16. And 4 theta is 3 pi, so therefore r is 2 and theta is 3 pi over 4, and the second root of minus 16 is z1 is 2 e to the I 3 pi over 4, which is 2 cosine 3 pi over 4 plus I sine 3 pi over 4, which is 2 times minus root 2 over 2 plus I times root 2 over 2, which is minus root 2 plus I times root 2. The third fourth root is going to be a solution of r e to the I theta to the fourth equals 16 times e to the I pi plus 4 pi. It follows that r to the fourth is 16 and 4 theta equals 5 pi. So therefore r is 2 and theta is 5 pi over 4. So therefore the third fourth root of minus 16 is z3, which is 2 e to the I 5 pi over 4, which is 2 cosine 5 pi over 4 plus I sine 5 pi over 4, which is 2 times minus root 2 over 2 minus root 2 over 2i, which is minus root 2 minus I root 2. Finally, we look at the fourth root. We must solve r to the I theta to the fourth is 16i pi plus 6 pi. It follows that r to the fourth is 16 and 4 theta is 7 pi. Therefore, r is 2 and theta is 7 pi over 4. So the last fourth root of minus 16 is z4 is 2 e to the I 7 pi over 4, which is 2 cosine 7 pi over 4 plus I sine 7 pi over 4, which is 2 times root 2 over 2 minus I root 2 over 2, which is root 2 minus I root 2. Now we have found all fourth roots of minus 16. It is interesting to note that if you plot the cubed roots of I as ordered pairs in the plane, this is called an Argand diagram, then you will see that the three roots are equally spaced around a circle of radius 1 centered at the origin. If instead you plot the fourth roots of minus 16 as ordered pairs of the plane, then you'll see that the four roots are equally spaced around a circle of radius 2, centered at the origin. As an exercise, you may wish to try your hand at calculating the fourth roots of minus 2i. Plot your fourth roots in an Argand diagram and observe that they are equally spaced around a circle centered at the origin. That's all for today. Thank you for listening.